Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I'd like to call the meeting to order of the San Diego Housing Commission, July 28th, 2017, at 9:05 a.m. 9:06 a.m. Chair Utessen is not able to be here this morning, and all the other commissioners are present. Members of the public who wish to address the Housing Commission must complete a speaker request form. We do have one of those today. Speakers are limited to 3 minutes each. Collective testimony by those who support or oppose an item shall be limited to no more than 15 minutes total per side. Non-agenda public comments are heard at the beginning of each meeting. Those who wish to address the board about a topic that is not on the agenda must fill out a white speaker sheet and submit it to the recording secretary. Members of the public also may request to have an item pulled from the agenda by the consent agenda by submitting a speaker request form once the consent agenda has been proposed. To speak on a matter that is on the agenda, members of the public must complete a speaker request form and submit it to the recording secretary before the item is called. Those who wish to speak in opposition to an item must complete the pink colored form, and those in favor of the item complete the gold colored form. We will now proceed with non-agenda public comments. We have one speaker request from Mr. Jeffrey Chesron. Please correct me if I'm mispronouncing your last name. Chesron. Thank you.
My name is Jeff Chesron, and in 94 is the first time I applied for the Section 8 grant. Many times it was thrown out because they said I didn't have I didn't pick up mail, which I had the same address of a friend's for the last 28 years. But anyway, four and a half months ago, I got my Section 8 voucher. Now, there's no help with finding housing, and that the housing voucher is probably anywhere from 20 to 50% under what the median is. Makes it a little hard to find housing, as well as the PHA, I believe, through the rehousing program, the ESD grants, and all the other grants that it receives is liable to help me with this. Since I'm homeless and had a heart attack and had cancer and had it cut out, and it got infected in the hospital and got MRSA, and so I spent all the money I had in the last year that this cities would not help me with anything. I mean, it's just like we don't have funding. Now, I know these grants are 10-year grants, you know, and after 5 years, they look at it. You've been getting these grants. So my question is, why do you not have any of the help that's supposed to be, and why am I discriminated against and retaliated against because of I send these things to HUD and show them these letters. In 2012, I went through 6 months for a rapid rehousing grant. I have a letter here from a lady in this housing department. I have many and many emails of all this stuff. So unless I can get some help by Friday, I guess my only the only thing I can do is the lawyers that helped me with another federal case with Social Security, because the city of San Diego is so corrupt and believes that it is not fraud and embezzlement to take and use grant money that is intended for a specific purpose and does, is a federal crime. And, you know, all I wanted some help and some housing. I've been on the street. I went through tax and was in an apartment that had black mold, and I was falling through the floor. My doctor even asked them to get me out of there. The head of shelter, that thing in California and in L.A., told them to put me in another housing, and they ran me through court, caused me from going to college, and tried to sue me, which they lost, and that San Diego Legal Aid actually helped them, and the lawyer told both the lawyers that they should be ashamed of what they did and threw it out. So, you know, all I want is some help getting a house, and you can, so by Friday, if somebody doesn't get a hold of me, I called my new housing specialist or whatever here that they changed it to for the last 2 weeks, and she won't call me back. So,
thank you, Mr. Schefter.
Yeah,
we can speak to that for just a moment. Mr. Gentry, would you please?
Yes, sir. We'll have staff follow up with you this week, or this is Friday, by next week. No promises, but we'll follow up with you next week.
Thank you very much, Mr. Gentry. Commissioner, comments? Do you have any comments today that you'd like to share with us?
I actually do.
Thank you, Stephanie.
I just wanted to give credit to Rick and his team for their presence at Housing Action Day at City Council. They were fantastic and provide a lot of context for some of the policies that were coming forward to ease regulations to bring more markets to or more units to the market. But I thought it was a really great opportunity to show what the Housing Commission is doing to tackle the housing problem from one end while council looks at some solutions at the other end. But just wanted to give you guys some kudos.
Thank you very much, Commissioner Benvenuto. Any other comments? Thank you. We'll now have a report from Mr. Gentry, our president and CEO.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Commissioner Benvenuto. I appreciate the shout-out. That is one of the items I was going to mention today, and now I don't have to. But it was Housing Action Day on the 24th of this month, just earlier this week on Monday, and the Housing Commission was able to show a number of the items that we're doing to the city on the housing issue right now, both homelessness and affordable housing, and it's we do have a lot of different programs going on right now. Excellent work done by senior staff and leadership, as well as the staff down in the ranks, and for that I'm very appreciative to the folks who work here. Also, since the last board meeting, it's been a while. It was June the 6th, I believe. We've had a number of events I'd like to just draw your attention to. For one, we've had three new project ribbon cuttings, which has been just wonderful, wonderful. On June the 21st, we had a grand opening at Fairbanks Terrace up in the North Urban Development part of the city. Chairman Rutassin spoke at that ribbon cutting. And then give me a second, just a minute. And then on yesterday, Talmadge Gardens grand opening occurred. It's over in the City Heights area. And Vice Chair Surdy was able to deliver remarks from the Housing Commission at that one. And on July the 24th, also on Monday, we had the grand opening of the Cypress Apartments, which is a new property down on Imperial Avenue between Father Joe's and the ballpark. And so those latter two, in particular, the Cypress Apartments and Talmadge Gateway, are the very first new products that have been developed under the Housing Commission's Housing First San Diego plan to provide ongoing, long-term, permanent, supportive housing for the homeless in San Diego. This is a program we kicked off in late 2014. We made these awards in 2015. They've been completed pretty much on schedule 2 years later. And it's the long-term development of this kind of a product that's going to bring real relief, I think, for some of the homeless issues that we've got out there right now. But again, for Debbie Ruain and the folks on her staff, Susana Valladolid and the folks on her staff, where we're able to blend a Section 8 subsidy with their real estate programs, it makes for a very, very good end product. And those three properties in particular, I'm very proud of. They are excellent. I'll point out two other things as well. Seems like a year ago now, but on July the 5th, which is not that far ago, earlier in the month. I was pleased to join Mayor Faulkner, County Supervisor Ron Roberts, Council Members Ward and Gomez, at a news conference to announce the latest iteration of Housing First San Diego. This is our 3.0 version of that program. And that's this board is well aware of that. The program was developed and passed through this body earlier this year. But I'd like to give a couple of numbers here just for perspective's sake. And that is the Housing Our Heroes 2.0 that we kicked off in March of last year included a large program called Housing Our Heroes, where we were looking to house 1,000 veterans off the streets in the near future. Right now, as of July the 1st, we have helped 831 veterans secure housing, homeless vets, and there are additional 350 out there looking right now with approved subsidy in hand. And even with my limited math skill, that tells me that we will hit well over 1,000 by about the end of September. Also, with our newest program, our 3.0 program, one of the more creative parts of that program that I think is going to pay huge dividends, although it will not be terribly visible to the public, is that we have put in a new program called Homelessness Prevention and Diversion. And this is helping people who already are housed in the private sector, who are receiving no help, but they're about to become homeless. And in the first 3 weeks of this program, we set aside money going forward in this program to help some 1,450 families over the next 3 years. And in the first 4 weeks of this program, we've already helped 68 families avoid homelessness. Now, you think about what it costs to build a new property for 68 people. This is money well spent. And this is one I suspect that's going to be well subscribed that we would need to add to as time goes by. So in terms of affordable housing here and housing for the homeless in particular, we're continuing to learn. We're continuing to alter our programs, Madam Chairman, and I'm particularly pleased with those numbers that we've been able to achieve just lately. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Mr. Gentry. I really appreciate that. I appreciated the opportunity to have visited and the grand opening of the Talmadge property, and it's just amazing. I'm very familiar with that area, and it's just, I really highly recommend that you stop by and visit. It's wonderful to see the seniors' appreciation of having roofs over their heads. It's an area of our generation that we sometimes don't really think that they're out on the streets or living in cars, but they are. And to see them housed in this kind of an environment with opportunities for security and education and so forth, and a really excellent quality of life. So I thank you very much for all of your efforts.
If I could, Madam Chairman, one other comment, too, I should have made but didn't. I had the high honor on July the 19th to be asked to speak at the National Alliance to End Homelessness in Washington, D.C., I was on a panel with some other presenters. This is a large meeting. There are probably 2,000 or more delegates who were there. And I came away from conversations in that gathering with one distinct overriding opinion. And that is we in San Diego tend to think that we're unique and that our problems are the worst and our attributes are the best of anybody in the country. Nice thing to think. But we're really in a continuum with everybody else. The homelessness issue is not peculiar to San Diego. It's a problem throughout the country, especially the West Coast. Everybody's grappling with it, as are we. And I think that we stand to learn a lot from other people, as others stand to learn a lot from us. But I don't think despite the fact that we might like to think that we're unique and special and different here, what's going on here is no different from any other parts of the country, and I think it's important to note that. Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you, Mr. Gentry. Moving on to the approval of the minutes of the June 16th, 2017 meeting, the regular meeting and special meeting of the Board of Commissioners. Are there any corrections to those minutes?
Yes, sir. Thank you. Yes, there are. With respect to the agenda shows that the meeting was held on June the 6th. It was on June the 16th. And the original minutes, there was a typographical error. So I'd like you, when you make your motion, to reference that the correct date was June the 16th, please.
Thank you, Mr. Christensen. Are there any other corrections or comments?
And there's one other comment. Sorry, I'll stop talking here in a minute. Commissioner Walsh was not present at the last meeting, and he'll be abstaining. And while I'm at it, so you don't have to hear me again, unless something comes up, on item 107, Commissioner Walsh will be abstaining, not because there's an actual conflict, but because there's a potential appearance of a conflict under the provisions of Council Policy 00-4. He will be abstaining and will be leaving the dais at that time. And I'd like that incorporated into the record, please.
Thank you very much, Mr. Christensen. You're a value, extremely valuable. Are there any other corrections or comments with regard to the minutes? And if not, I'd like to entertain a motion for approval. A second? I have a motion by Commissioner Hurtussen and a second by Commissioner Davis. All those in favor, please indicate by raising your hand, saying aye. Aye. Opposed? Abstentions? One abstention, Mr. Walsh. The minutes are approved as presented. And thank you very much, Mr. Christensen, for your reviewing. Next on the agenda is the adoption of the consent agenda. And at this point, I'd like to move that item 100, 101, and 102 be, and unless anyone has any opposition to that, do I have a motion to approve those three items, if you've had a chance to review or questions?
I have one question on item 102 for staff, I believe, if that's all right. The question is regard to, the item discusses five of the 84 units will currently meet accessibility standards in accordance with ADA. And so I was asked staff, is this a federal requirement you're complying with, or is this a requirement that the Housing Commission is attempting to go above and beyond?
The Commission always attempts to comply with Sections 504, ADA, UFAS, and CVC. So we do try to go above and beyond at all, when all possible and when practical.
And 504 is a federal requirement, just to clarify. I think that was the question.
It is the federal requirement.
That's correct.
Great. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you for those comments and questions. So do I hear a motion to approve? Mm-hmm. By Commissioner Hubbard. And a second to the motion?
Second.
Commissioner Walsh. Moved and second. All those in favor, please raise your hands or aye. Thank you very much. The motion is approved. We'll now move on to our discussion agenda. And the first item on the agenda is 103. Mr. Gentry, would you like to introduce our presenters, please?
Yes, ma'am. Mike Pavko, Jennifer McKinney, take it away.
Thank you, Mr. Gentry. Good morning, Chair Sturdy, Commissioners, Mr. Gentry, and Council. My name is Jennifer McKinney. I'm the Vice President of Real Estate Operations, and with me is Mike Pavko, the Senior Vice President of Real Estate. Item 104 is a request to approve a loan in the amount of approximately $5 million secured by an SDHC-owned property, Courtyard Apartments. The Housing Commission acquired Courtyard in the fall of 2010 as one of the Housing Commission's direct purchases through the finance plan. There is no amortizing debt placed on the property. Courtyard is a mixed-use, 37-unit residential project with approximately 3,600 square feet of commercial space fronting El Cajon Boulevard in City Heights. All three commercial suites are occupied, and the residential units have an average occupancy of 97% this calendar year to date. Given this consistent rental revenue, staff seeks authorization to obtain a loan secured by this property to be repaid from the property's cash flow. You may recall that this transaction was outlined within the fiscal year 18 agency budget approved by this board as a funding source for capital improvement work on the Housing Commission properties. Additional fiscal year 18 funding sources include Move to Work and local property funds. This fiscal year, the Portfolio Management Department anticipates rehabilitation work on 55 Housing Commission-owned properties, impacting 473 households. The average age of the portfolio is approximately 40 years old, so this funding will extend the useful life of the components such as windows, kitchen cabinets, countertops, bathroom vanities, roofing, exterior painting, and structural improvements. A request for proposals to lenders was issued on June 12, 2017. Two responses to the request were received, one from City Community Capital and another from Red Mortgage Capital, LLC. Red Mortgage Capital was selected due to favorable terms, including a lower interest rate. Key terms of the proposed loan are as follows. The amount is not to exceed 80% of loan to appraised value on commercially reasonable terms. The debt service coverage ratio will not be less than 1.15. The size of the loan is estimated to be approximately $5 million. In closing, the staff is recommending that the Housing Commission take the following actions. One, authorize the Housing Commission to leverage the equity to borrow funds secured by Courtyard Apartments within the aforementioned parameters in a loan amount of approximately $5 million. Two, authorize the Housing Commission to procure the loan through the advertised and direct request for proposals from lenders. Three, authorize the Housing Commission to use the loan funds to conduct construction and rehabilitation work on Housing Commission-owned rental properties. Four, authorize the Housing Commission to convey the Courtyard Apartment property to an affiliate or to an entity that is otherwise wholly owned by the Housing Commission to the extent reasonably necessary or advisable in order to obtain the financing secured by the Courtyard Apartment's property. And five, authorize the President and CEO, the Executive Vice President and Chief of Staff, or their designees to execute all necessary documents and perform such acts as reasonably necessary to implement these approvals upon the advice of General Counsel. This concludes my presentation. We're available to answer questions.
Thank you. Questions? Comments? Commissioner Benvenido?
Can you guys give us some feedback about what the commercial or who the commercial tenants are and how long they've been there, how long we can anticipate that they'll stay? I know there's only, three commercial units?
Sure. One commercial tenant is Latinas y Latinos, and it's a nonprofit that is very active in the City Heights community with youth. The second tenant is Urban Life Ministries, I believe a faith-based organization. And the third happens to be the Property Management Department. It's one of our hub offices that manages the San Diego Housing Commission properties.
Thank you. Mr. Gentry?
At the risk of further complication, I feel the need to give a little bit of background. It occurred to me that the only board member who was on board when we acquired this property was Mr. Moraga, and this is the result of a very innovative program we did early in my tenure here that the rest of you probably don't know about, so bear with me for about 4 or 5 minutes here. In 2007, the Housing Commission received approval from HUD to move 1,366 former public housing units, convert the subsidy from Section 9 public housing to Section 8 of the Housing Act, which is vouchers. In doing so, we decoupled subsidy from the properties. HUD then gave us complete control of the properties back, took away the former declaration of trust, which basically gave the feds control of our properties, so that we then had these units free and clear of any debt or encumbrance. In very late 2009 and 2010, we issued $95 million in debt on these 1,300, on a portion of these 1,366 units, which we then used to acquire either in whole or in part an additional 810 units of affordable housing for San Diego. Is good reflection of the old adage that good news is not news. So this is something not very well known in the community, but we actually increased by 810 units by gleaning the value lying fallow in the ground. I'm using biblical terms on purpose here. To create the financing to create more units. It was nobody else in the country has done this. It was just remarkable. One of those properties we acquired was this particular property, Courtyard Apartments, which was a condo quality property sitting on El Cajon that was in the federal bankruptcy courts that we acquired dirt cheap. And the property is operating very well, and the money we used to acquire this property is essentially paid for by loans on our other properties. So we decided to take it one step further. And this is one of two of those eight properties that make up that 810 units that we believe that we could issue debt on to do other things for the agency. We'll be coming back to you later with the other property. But this one, we decided this would be a good use of proceeds out of this property to bring up to better standards some other existing units. So I just wanted to, for the sake of all of you, but Ben, who all remembers this, to understand where this came from and what the context is.
Thank you very much. Are there any comments or questions?
Move for approval.
Commissioner Mara moves for approval. And the second from Commissioner Davis. Any other questions? Call for the vote. All those in favor, please raise your hands by saying aye. And saying aye. Opposed? Thank you. The motion is carried. Excellent report. We appreciate all your efforts. That's really a landmark in that area of El Cajon Boulevard. It's a very professional, well-kept, well-maintained building. I pass it on a regular basis. I buy gas out in that area, and it's a really good price for gas in that area, too. That's just an FYI. Wasn't on the agenda. Thank you. Thank you very much, Mr. Gentry. So, next. 104, the Casa Puleta Apartments. Mr. Gentry, would you please introduce the speakers?
This is Ms. Kessler and Mr. Miyahara. Ted, I see you've got the mic. You take it away.
Good morning, Madam Chair, Commissioners. Ted Miyahara, Vice President of Housing Finance. With me is Tina Kessler, Housing Programs Manager. So once again, we have a full agenda of real estate development proposals. Four bond authorizations are before you this morning. Three are final authorizations, and one is a preliminary bond authorization. I plan on providing a multifamily housing revenue bond 101 workshop at the September board meeting. However, seeing that we have four items before you today, I thought I'd provide a general overview of the program. The Housing Commission has issued over $1.1 billion in bonds over the life of our program. Our portfolio consists of 70 properties totaling over 8,800 units. The program came out of the Federal Tax Reform Act of 1986 and is governed by the IRS and the states. States have limits on how much bonds they can issue on an annual basis. Bond issuers such as the Housing Commission apply to the state for bonds. The Housing Commission is a conduit bond issuer. We apply for and facilitate financial transactions for the developers. We engage outside bond counsel and financial advisors on all of our transactions. They specialize in this area, and they assist us to ensure that our closings run smoothly. You'll hear it a lot from us, but I'm going to say it again right now. There is no financial liability to the city, the housing authority, or the housing commission. The limited partnerships formed by the developers who build these projects are on the hook for repayment of the bonds. Project revenues generated, you know, rental revenues generated by these projects are used to repay the bonds. Today we are requesting recommendation for final authorization to issue up to $42 million in bonds and also recommending preliminary actions to issue up to $62 million in bonds. Staff is excited about all of these projects. A recommendation today from the board would produce some 282 units of new affordable housing and extend the affordability of 224 units. So with that, I'll let Tina take it away.
Good morning, Commissioners. Mr. Gentry, Mr. Christensen. The item before you today, as Ted mentioned, is one of the final bond authorizations. This project is Casa Puleta. There are three actions that we are requesting approval for this morning. One is for the final issuance of $4.5 million in multifamily housing revenue bonds, an exemption from our bond policy to allow the use of tax credit rents, and also to hold a TEFRA hearing for the bond authorization in the amount of $4.5 million. Casa Puleta is located in Council District 9 in Southeast San Diego on South 45th Street. This project is an existing apartment project with five buildings that consist of two, three, and four-bedroom units with one three-bedroom manager's unit. The community also has a leasing office, a laundry facility, a community center, and a resident services building. Casa Puleta was originally constructed in 2002 and requires some renovations for addressing of long-term capital needs. The scope of the rehabilitation includes new countertops, unit interiors, installation of solar panels, rehab to the existing clubhouse. The developer of the project is Willow Partners. This slide demonstrates all of the entities involved in this partnership. This slide here represents the sources and uses of the project. The total development cost for the renovation is just over $10.7 million, which is approximately $199,000 per unit. This slide represents the mix of rents for the project. So the unit will be restricting rents from 30 to 60% of area median income. And here is our schedule for upcoming actions to finalize the financing for this project. With your approval today, we will move to Housing Authority next Tuesday and estimated financing close in August. And we're available to answer any questions on this project.
Thank you very much. And the issuance of up to $5.4 million, is that correct?
That's correct, yes.
Okay, thank you very much. Are there any questions or comments, Commissioners? Mr. Walsh?
The second item request is to grant the exemption. It's enumerated in the report pretty well, but would you verbally explain why the exemption is necessary in this regard?
Sure. So this project was originally financed with 9% tax credits and did not receive a Housing Commission loan, so it was not under our purview. We are governed by California Health and Safety Code, and the provisions in that code specify we use certain household size to determine maximum income and maximum rent. That methodology is bedroom count plus one. The state uses a different methodology. It's 1.5 persons per bedroom. So there is a variance when you get into bedroom sizes that are three and above. And since this was originally financed with tax credits, it has very deep affordability targeting, 30s, 40s, 50s, and 60s. We didn't want to cause a financial hardship to the developer. That paired with recent hits to the equity markets really puts a choke on this deal. So this was previously approved by the board here and at Housing Authority. For some reason, request for that exemption did not make it into the resolution, so we're back again to make sure that is reflected in the reso, and again requesting your approval for that.
Thank you.
Thank you. And that is a requirement, correct, since it was originally?
Yes, because our bond policy clearly calls out the methodology used to determine rent and income, and okay. That's the bedroom count.
Exactly. Thank you. Any more comments or questions? Call for a motion to approve. Second. And so the motion to approve was Commissioner Benvenuto, and the second, Commissioner Walsh. It's moved in second. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Approved. They're making it too easy for me here. Okay. Thank you very much. We really appreciate your report and all your efforts in that regard. So moving on to 105, the authorization for Luna at Pacific Highlands Ranch Village requires Housing Authority approval. And the report on that, are you reporting on that as well? Well, thank you very much.
To continue with our bond items, this item before you is for the final bond authorization approval for Luna at Pacific Highlands Ranch, which was formerly presented as Pacific Highlands Ranch Village. We are requesting authorization to issue up to $24 million in multifamily tax-exempt revenue bonds. This project is located in the North City Future Urbanizing Area on two sites that will build 79 multifamily units. The project will consist of two separate sites that include 1s, 2s, 3s, and 4s bedroom units. Amenities include a kitchen, a lounge, workstation, management office, and laundry facilities. The developer for this project is Affirmed Housing Group with some other partners in the development as demonstrated on this slide here. The total development cost for this project is $29.7 million, which is approximately $376,000 per unit. The developer is requesting up to $24 million in bonds. Units will be restricted at 50 and 60% of area median income for 55 years, and these are the final steps in the process to close the bond financing. With your approvals today and presentation to the Housing Authority on next Tuesday, financing is estimated to close later in August and construction to follow.
Would the construction begin
in
within
August.
30 or 45 days? Or
also in later in
also
August.
Also in August. Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you very much. Any comments or questions, commissioners? Thank you.
I just think it's great to start seeing these projects, you know, north of the 8 and even north of the 56 a little bit. So
yes.
This is a great project.
Absolutely. Thank you. I think there's only one or two other projects or properties in that area. So I'm excited about that opportunity. So may I hear a motion to approve? Commissioner Davis, move to approve. Second. Commissioner Huber. All those in favor, please signify by raising your hand. Aye. No. Motion approved. So moving on to item 106, preliminary bond authorization for Civita 2 family apartments.
So Civita 2 is a preliminary bond authorization for $62 million. The project's located in Mission Valley in the Quarry Falls specific plan area. It's more commonly referred to as Civita. You can't miss it if you're driving on Friars. It was previously a quarry and is adjacent to the 805 freeway. Civita is permitted to develop 4,780 residential units and 900,000 square feet of commercial, retail, and office. The developer has a 10% inclusionary housing requirement, so the project before you will fulfill that portion or a portion of that requirement. The Housing Commission is not providing any gap financing on this deal. It's just a vanilla bond issuance. The development is composed of 203 units and includes a mix of 2- and 3-bedroom units. It's a mixed-use project with ground floor retail. There are two other components to this project. Project A, 203 family unit project, which is the subject property before you today, and a separate 103 unit senior rental project. Total development cost for the 203 units is $100 million, which equates to $492,000 per unit. This is an expensive project, and that's because it's complex. There are three components to it. It's mixed use. It has a five-story parking garage. Also, infrastructure improvements. It was a quarry, so we're talking roads and sewers, traffic lights, a huge park that's in the middle of the development, and all of those costs have been a portion of all of those costs have been passed along to the developer. The developer is Chelsea Investment Corporation. They're a great developer. You guys are familiar with their work. Finally, all of the units are 2 and 3 bedroom units. So these are true family units. If Chelsea could build this project for less, they would. The master developer, if you could go back a slide, Tina, please. The master developer is contributing the land. It's $10 million. They're also providing a $12 million loan. To fulfill the inclusionary housing requirement. So if the cost went down, their note would go down. So believe me, they're a developer themselves. They know what it costs to build these projects. They would be pressing Chelsea to push down cost. The tenant income for the project will be restricted to 50 and 60% of the area median income. That means rents will be about $1,025 to $1,425 for 2 and 3 bedroom units. That's about half of what the market rate tenants in this community are paying. So they're getting a pretty good deal. And the income and rent restrictions will run with the land for a 55-year term. With that, I'll open it up for questions.
Thank you very much. Questions? Comments? Mr. Gentry?
I'm very glad Mr. Miyahara addressed the cost issue. You know, we get criticized constantly for dealing with properties that have a fairly high cost tag, particularly to people who don't understand what goes into building these properties. The smart aleck way I like to put it is that the least expensive way to do these deals is to do them right the first time, so we don't have to go back and readdress it. And having worked in the old field of public housing most of my career, I well understand what it's like to try to develop and operate properties that are undercapitalized. So I think these properties will fit into the context of the neighborhood. They'll be an asset to the city. There'll be a great value to the people living there, and you will not be able to differentiate the property by quality from the market rate next door to it. It's a good deal.
Thank you very much. Commissioner Moraga?
On table two, I know this is preliminary, but is there a reason why we don't have a managing general partner yet, investor limited partner yet, or a construction lender or permit lender yet?
Sure. So what they'll do is Chelsea typically, you know, has a couple of nonprofits that will participate. So they're probably in discussions with each of them right now, and they'll engage them prior to coming back for final authorization. And in terms of the investor, they'll price their debt and equity just before they're ready to close, and that ensures that they get the best pricing and the best deal terms. So I think it's a little bit premature at this point in time to be identifying who that is.
What would be the time frame for that then, generally?
I believe that they're targeting a March close, so they'll probably start engaging lender-investor November, December, I'd say.
Thank you very much. Other questions, comments? Thank you, Commissioner Moragov. Do I hear a second? Thank you, Commissioner Davis. All those in favor, please signify by... Aye. Thank you very much. Motion approved. Moving on. Bella Vista Apartments. Okay. Thank you very much. Let the minutes reflect Commissioner Walsh has stepped away.
Good morning, Commissioners. This item is Bella Vista Apartments, construction financing taxable note. Maybe you can do this before I turn. Get on to the next one. The recommendation is that the Housing Authority approve issuance of up to $12,700,000 in taxable multiple housing mortgage revenue bonds note to facilitate construction financing of the 170-unit existing Bella Vista Apartments. Bella Vista is a proposed acquisition and rehab of 170 existing apartment units for families located at 4742 Solala Avenue in Encanto. The Housing Commission Housing Authority previously approved an up to $23,300,000 tax-exempt multifamily housing mortgage revenue bond issuance. Nothing has really changed from that previous approval, except the developer and tax credit investors are requesting that the Housing Authority issue up to an additional $12,700,000 as a taxable bonds note for a substantial portion of the development's construction financing. So instead of having a $23.3 million tax-exempt total bond issuance, we would have a total $36 million bond issuance that's partly tax-exempt, partly taxable. And having a taxable bond portion is really a business decision for the developer and their investor. But let me emphasize that the proposal does not create any financial liability to the commission, and there is no Housing Commission cash loan funds requested for the project. It's proposed to have two portions of the bond financing, a $23,300,000 tax-exempt portion and a $12.7 million taxable portion. Both the tax-exempt and taxable financing be piggybacked as one financing issuance. The developer is Islas Development. They are an experienced for-profit developer. They've developed over 3,400 affordable multifamily housing units. This is a location map that shows you 4742 Solala Avenue. There's just a parcel map showing you the same thing. Site photos, you can see it's very nice looking, but it needs a substantial amount of rehab. The estimated sources and uses of construction and permanent financing are summarized in tables 3A and B in the report. The total development cost is $45,090,538. The per unit cost is $268,770. And we include in the report a comparison of the property with similar other past projects in table 5, page 5 of the report. And it compares very favorably. One of the lower costs of the four that we've shown you as comparable projects. The affordability is summarized also in table 7. One more. And the proposal would extend affordability on 169 affordable housing units with rents in the 50 to 60% AMI range plus one unrestricted manager's unit. If you approve today's proposal, we can close escrow by the end of next week. Start construction as early as possible in August. And we do have a mid-August milestone deadline for the California Debt Limit Allocation Committee to issue the necessary financing. So in summary, the proposed Housing Authority issuance of $12.7 million with a taxable bonds note, the developer is responsible for paying all the costs under the proposed financing. The proposed tax will not constitute debt of the city, the Housing Authority, or the Housing Commission, and neither the full faith and credit nor the taxing power of the city or the full faith and credit of the Housing Authority are pledged to payment of the note. So in summary, this is another site photo. In summary, you have previously approved the project. There's no Housing Commission cash loan funds requested for the project. This is to accommodate a request from our developer partner. There are a number of project benefits. You're preserving affordable housing units for additional years. You're receiving an increased bond issuing fee of approximately $32,000 for a total of $90,000 as a bond issuer fee. You have bond issuance approval, deleveraging about $14 million in tax credits. You're creating jobs for construction workers and material suppliers. And the real winners are the tenants who are going to be receiving improved units and thus a better quality of life. We are recommending your approval of the proposed additional bonds. And with us this morning are Ruben Islas and Jules Arthur, representing the developer. They're available for questions. Let me turn it over to you for questions.
Thank you very much for the report. Questions, comments? Commissioner Moraga?
Can you talk to me about the tenant service provider and what that arrangement is? I'm just curious. I saw.
I wonder if the developer can step up to the mic and respond to that.
Good morning. Ruben Islas, Islas Development, and Logan Capital Advisors. I didn't quite catch the question. Oh, Casa Familiar. So they were our original partner. is 16 years ago with Andres Corepa, now with Lisa Cuestas, who's wonderful. She's a great CEO. Very excited to work with her. We do after school programs. We do some gang prevention. We also do work with the kids during the summer for the Boys and Girls Club, things like that. They do come on site. And then certain years when we can, we try to provide transportation to the Boys and Girls Club so that, you know, because you have a lot of kids. Yeah. But it's been a great partnership. We've been together for a long time, so we're not going to change it.
Any other questions or comments? Any further comments? Thank you very much. So do I hear a motion to approve? Okay. Thank you, Commissioner Hubbard. And a second? Thank you, Commissioner Benevento. It's been moved and second. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye. And there is one abstention, Mr. Gentry. Okay. Thank you very much. The motion is approved. Thank you very much for all of your efforts.
Thank you.
I really appreciate it. Mm-hmm. So this concludes our discussion agenda. The regular meeting is adjourned at 9:57.